O God, who by the leading of a star didst manifest thy only begotten Son to the Gentiles, mercifully grant that we who now know thee by faith may after this life have fruition of thy glorious Godhead through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
And a happy Epiphany season to you all. We're in the Epiphany season, a season that I personally enjoy and I'm very grateful for. In the prayer that I just prayed from the Epiphany, it says, O God, who by the leading of a star didst manifest thy only begotten Son to the Gentiles. See, Epiphany is all about manifestation. Our brothers and sisters in the Eastern Church call this a theophany, the feast of the theophany. God revealing himself in a sensible and tangible way to all people. It's God's the manifestation, the epiphany, the revelation of God incarnate to all people. And that makes so much sense for our spiritual walk. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. And today, we celebrate that same baby being revealed to all men. In fact, I would go on to say that this is a special day because you and I, who are not in the bloodline of Abraham, have now been brought together, and it all started at the Epiphany because he revealed himself to the Gentiles. Those were not part of the Abrahamic bloodline. And I'm very grateful for that. And we're brothers and sisters, primarily because what Saint Matthew writes in chapter 2, how he revealed Christ, how God revealed himself to all humanity. A 16th century Dutch artist paints a wonderful picture. In this picture, it's like a tapestry. He reveals men of all walks of life. These black men, these people with hair, people with brown hair, people with red hair, people who are white, some who are bowing down, some are standing, some are kneeling. And they've all gathered together and they're surrounding a baby boy who is in a manger. And it's a powerful symbol of what Epiphany is all about. I began by saying this is a wonderful season, and for that I am very grateful, because the Christ child is the focal point of everything that is going on in this pericope. In the books, in the prophets, primarily Prophet Isaiah in the 60th chapter, he prophesies that there will be a child who is born, of which kings from all ends of the earth shall come and bow down to. The psalmist in Psalm chapter 72 talks about the same. Kings from Tarshish, kings from Sheba and Seba will all come with gifts in adoration to a baby boy who is the king. Matthew chapter 2, beginning from the first verse, says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Right here we see a fulfillment of the prophecies given by the prophet Isaiah and by the psalmist, coming to fruition in Matthew's gospel. So these wise men came. Now, we're not sure how many wise men there were. In our tradition, we'll usually see three wise men. We'll see three men, three wise men, three magi, three kings, synonyms of these people who are coming to see Christ. Now, there are three because we infer from the three gifts of frankincense, gold, and myrrh. But we're not sure how many they were. Some believe there were two, some believe there were 12. But that's not what matters. What matters is that they're wise men coming from the east. Now, wise men in this time were the advisors to the powerful men. They were the people who had the greatest status in society. They were the wealthiest, the wisest men of their time. And here we are given a picture into these great men with all their honor and their courage and their wealth coming from wherever they were in Tarshish, in Babylon, coming to see a child who was born. Take a second to think about that. This is a baby of which the greatest of men are coming to worship. Most times we think about Jesus' ministry being, you know, from the age 30 to 33, and then he was crucified. But right here, as a baby, we see the power of God working. So these wise men, in all their honor and wealth, come from the east to worship him. And they are not sure where this Jesus is being born. So they go. We know they have access to Herod, the king. And they're with him, and they ask him, where is he being born? And when he heard these things, when Herod heard these things, he was troubled. Evidently, he wasn't troubled because he was excited. It's the opposite of that. Caesar Augustus writes about Herod as a killer. He was a murderer who killed his own children. And Caesar Augustus says it's better that you be his servant than his own child. This man wasn't a good man. So he was troubled evidently because he didn't want any other king to be called king in his kingdom. So St. Matthew continues that when he heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And what did he do? He calls his own wise men, right? The priests, the chief priests and the scribes. And he demands of them, where is this Christ to be born? And they answered him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Today, if you see the distance between Herod was and where Bethlehem of Judea is, it's about a 27 minutes drive. Very close, geographically speaking. Yet you have men from the east who have ridden on their camels and donkeys and horses for days. They understand where they're going because the Spirit is leading them. And these chief priests and scribes who had the scriptures, who had the Torah, who had read in the book of Moses called Numbers about a star that would guide, who had written and who had read about the prophets like Isaiah and the psalmist talking about a king who will be born, and people will come to worship him. They knew all these things from front to the back. But clearly, they did not understand. And so they tell him, they did know, they say in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. See, again, these were wise men. They knew where they were going. They could read the stars. And then he sent them off to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me back word that I may come and worship him. Here goes the murderer who is now deceptive. His intentions weren't to worship Christ. Evidently, with history, we know that hereafter, he'd kill every child 2 years and under. When they had heard the king, these wise men departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Think about that. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures. Think about a young baby boy in his manger. And these wise and greatest sages and men see him, and the first thing that leaps out of their hearts is, let's bow down and worship. The wisest of the wisest, the wealthiest of the wealthiest, when they came before Jesus, all that lost meaning. The only thing that had meaning in that point was Jesus, the God incarnate. And here they open their treasures, which theologians and scholars have given specific connotations. Gold probably means his kingship. Frankincense means his priestly role. And myrrh, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. The point here is, when they encountered Jesus, their lives changed. Jesus, the manifestation of Christ in our lives, brings such a change. I will read something, if I have it here, from the poet T.S. Eliot. He writes from the perspective of one of these wise men when they've returned back to their home country. Here's what he says. We return to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here. In the old dispensation. See, everything now is old. It's in the old dispensation. Everything is blurry now. The sweetness that he found in the child is so tasteful. It's so delicious that he's gone back home and is like, oh, here we are again. Oh, same old, you know, bookshelves, some old pillows. And he's yearning for this beauty that he saw in the Christ child. He says, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation with an alien people clutching their gods. These were people from the East again. They're their own gods. And here these people who have encountered the truth, who have encountered Christ, can now detect and see these people who are clutching onto their gods, who are in no way compared to the God incarnate. I should be glad of another death. This reminds me of St. Augustine's confession. He said, Lord, you have created us for yourself, and my heart is restless until it finds rest in you. Brothers and sisters, this is the way of the Christian, the posture of Christianity. Our heart is restless. These wise men were restless in their riches and their wisdom until they encountered Christ. And in that point, in that moment, they desired him more than anything else. That's a wonderful challenge for us today, especially as we begin this new year. May we encounter Christ afresh. May we encounter him in a new and profound way, to the extent that when we go back to that which was old, the old man, we will desire nothing of that world, but desire everything that Christ has to offer. This is a good challenge for myself and for us together. May we continue to enjoy the beauty that Christ brings to us. In this new year, may we glorify God. May his manifestation mean more to us than anything else. May the revelation of Christ in our lives be evident to all we meet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.